Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of God, of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us to his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, everybody. My name is James, if you don't know me. I'm a minister in training here. Keep your Bibles open. We'll be referring back to this passage throughout this talk today. Let me pray for us before we kick off. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word stands forever. Thank you that it's eternal. Thank you that it never changes. Thank you that it can change us. We pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, your word really would change us now. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Godliness. When I say that word, what image first is conjured up in your head? Godliness. Do you kind of think of a judgy prude like Angela from The Office? Looks down on people. I'm better than you. Or if you're a Christian, is it the sort of thing that's just a bit of a killjoy? Makes your life a bit worse, makes you a bit of a bore. Or is godliness just something that's just really unachievable? It's impossible. I'll never be godly. What do you think when I say the word godliness? Well, what does the Bible think about godliness? That's really important, isn't it? We're starting a new book today of the Bible called, it's the second letter of Peter. And that's the apostle that Jesus personally commissioned himself to write this. And Peter is very fond of godliness. He even gives us a list, a big list of godly qualities. Look at verses 5 to 7. Just know where they are in the passage because we'll be referring back to those today. Verse 5. This is what godliness is. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Starts in faith, ends in love. This is godliness in a nutshell. And I think if this was a sermon about godliness, of what godliness is, I think I'd stop here and pray, because it's right there. But this passage isn't mostly a passage about what godliness is, but it's there to make us care about it. So why should we care? Why should we care? Or as it says at the beginning of verse 5, why should we make every effort. You see that? It's a bit extreme, isn't it? Aren't there other things to care about in life? Well, he's going to persuade us to make every effort and care a lot about it. And firstly, he answers a kind of potential defeater question that someone might have. Why should I care about godliness if godliness just is impossible? We're all sinners. We're never going to be perfectly godly, are we? It's not a stupid question. As a perfectionist myself a little bit, I'm not going to start a task unless I know that I can do it perfectly. I can relate a bit. But here we're convinced that godliness is doable. Godliness is doable. Look at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. How clear is that verse? So clear, isn't it? We have everything we need for a godly life. So emphatic. But what is that everything, you might be thinking? Well, the everything you need, it isn't something that you kind of get zapped with when you become a Christian. The everything here is the apostle's word. The Bible. That's what it is. It's hard to see on the first casual read-through, but just come with me to see this. The everything goes to the apostles first. Just read that again and just pay attention to that, the we and the us. He has given us everything we need. That we there in verse 3, that's the apostles, the people who wrote this thing, the Bible. And then that we, that pronoun, changes to a you. This is as techie as it's going to get, by the way. Verse 4, he has given us, the apostles, his very great and precious promises, so that through them, here's a switch, you, me, might participate in the divine nature. Through those precious promises of the Bible, given to those apostles first, you and me have been given everything we need for godliness right here. This is where it's at. Everything for the content of godliness. There's no command lacking. We have no excuse not to be godly, you could say. And you could also say that you need everything in here. From the Gospels to the Psalms to Obadiah and Leviticus. It's the best manual for godliness. But we also have the capabilities for godliness. In the sense that I think that where Jesus says, my words are spirit and life. Spiritual life, to be godly, is given through the word. How? Well, transport yourself to a farmer's field for a second. Trying to be godly without the word is like you're a rock and someone plants you, a rock, expecting an apple tree to grow. Water the rock, give it the best soil, the most sunlight. It's not going to work, is it? It's not going to work. Rocks have no life to grow. But trying to be godly with the word is like you're a rock, but you get changed into an apple seed with life. You'll get planted, and with a bit of watering, well, you'll produce apples. We're like rocks, change into apple seeds with life. We're given life to be godly through this, the word. So taking our cues kind of from verses 5 to 7, just scan down there. Let's take that first one, goodness. Or a better translation, moral excellence. As a busy mum, or a busy teacher, or amongst an overwhelmingly kind of bad moral influence of a secular workplace, do you actually believe that you have everything you need, no matter what situation you're in, to be godly, to be have moral excellence? Excellence. Believe it. The word has everything you need for for a godly life. Potential defeater number one. It's down. Godliness isn't doable. No, it's totally doable. But enter potential defeater number two. Why care about godliness if, you know, I don't even need it? Don't even need it. It's not even necessary. Nice add-on for the keenies, maybe. Can I take it or leave it? I'll leave it. Doesn't really matter. It makes my life worse. I'm a bit of a killjoy. No. Godliness is doable, and briefly, it's demanded. Godliness is demanded for all Christians who are heaven-bound. That's all Christians, right? Look at the middle of verse 10. For if you do these things, the qualities of verses 5 to 7, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Kind of reversing that around a bit. If you haven't got those qualities of verses 5 to 7, you're not the sort of person who's welcomed into heaven. No godliness, no heaven. I'm putting that a little bit provocatively, but let's be clear. It's not heaven by godliness. It's not even faith plus godliness, like God does his bit, you do your bit. No, you're welcomed into heaven by faith, but faith that has sprouted into love. Faith kind of made visible, faith all grown up. That's godliness. Let's go back to the farm again. You've been made into an apple seed by grace. Apple seeds, what do? They produce apples. It's just what they do, isn't it? You've been made into a godly Christian by grace, by the word, and Christians full of life, heading for heaven, produce godliness. That's just what we do. Again, let's take some godly qualities from verses 5 to 7 again. Let's just take self-control. Do you actually believe that something like being self-controlled in your appetite or financially or whatever it is a fruit of faith for those who are heaven-bound? Well, you better believe it, because godliness is, in one sense, demanded of us. And I say one sense, because it's not demanded here in Peter's tone, if you look really carefully. The tone isn't kind of like an army major. Do this or else. No, the tone is more like caring pastor. Let's read this again. It's doable, it's demanded, but it's desirable for our future. Just listen to his tone, verses 5 to 10. Go to verse 10 again, I love it. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, my fellow brothers and sisters whom I care about and I love. Verse 10, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble, it says. It stops you from stumbling. That's great. You don't want to stumble, do you? Verse 11, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Don't you want a rich welcome into heaven? Wouldn't that be great? It's such an encouraging kind of, don't you want this tone? Did you pick that up? Windsor Fellowship Church, hear that tone now. Don't you want a rich welcome, like a fanfare, a smile from Jesus? Don't you want to hear from him, my good and faithful servant? Come on in. How good does godliness sound? It's so desirable. It's desirable for our future. But it's also desirable for us now. Godliness is desirable for us now. I think so many of us may go from week to week, day to day, really kind of believing that godliness is a necessary evil. I've got to do it. Like it sounds good in my future, but it's just a killjoy. It's just a killjoy. It makes me a bore. It causes me to miss out on things. Like, I want to please Jesus, but does pleasing him mean I've got to eat gruel? Like, it's good for me now, but it's good for me later, but it's just horrible to eat now. The taste of it is horrible. Brothers and sisters, this is not what Peter thinks when he hears the word godliness. No. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. For if you possess these qualities, the ones we read at the start, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your knowledge of him? Well, it's you knowing him like a friend, like a brother. Your relationship with him. We saw this a couple of weeks ago. And what does godliness do for that relationship? It makes it effective and productive. Put simply, if you're godly, you'll have a wonderful relationship with Jesus. Do you want to be kept from a stale, ineffective relationship with Jesus? I do. Don't you? We all want to be someone who enjoys knowing Jesus. They just love praying. Love it. They can't wait to read their Bibles in the morning. Get to meet Jesus. Who prizes knowing Jesus so much that hard times just kind of bounce off them because they know they have Jesus. We all want to be like that. How do you get that? Be godly. It's not that hard really, is it, in a sense? It's just how productive relationships work in life. Think about it. When you invest in somebody and you care about what they like and what they dislike, well, what do you think that relationship does? It thrives. But when you have a relationship where you call the shots and you don't really invest in the other person, do you think that relationship is going to thrive? Of course not. Of course it isn't. It's like trying to pursue a relationship with me and only talking about knitting or something. Right? It's not going to be that great. When to really have a good relationship with me, you're going to want to talk about drumming or jazz or coffee or something. Likewise, the secret to an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus is caring about what he cares about. Godliness. This isn't always the case, but sometimes our relationship with Jesus kind of becomes Jesus is my genie. Jesus is the person I call when things get a little bit hard. That's not really much of a relationship. We don't really invest in him. And you can have that sort of relationship if you want to. It might help in a lot of the short term, but it will be stale, unproductive. You don't want that, do you? How good would it be to enjoy, love, cherish Jesus like the keen ones do? Investing in Jesus with godliness, it makes that possible. Let's just take some of those godly qualities again from verses 5 to 7. Let's go to verse 7, where you see mutual affection. Do you actually believe that having that sacrificial love towards your spouse, your friends, your church, even when those people just completely rub you up the wrong way, do you think that's good for your relationship with Jesus now? That could apply to all of those qualities. Well, believe it is. It really is. Godliness is desirable for us now. So as we come to apply this passage, I mean, we could spend another 15 minutes going through all these qualities one by one in verses 5 to 7. It wouldn't be a terrible use of time, but the big thing after seeing that godliness is doable, demanded, and desirable, verse 5, make every effort. Verse 10, make every effort. make every effort to be godly. We've got the motivations. Let's just get on with it and do it. So let's think about that. Putting in effort to be godly. How does that sound in your head? It kind of goes against the grain for me. I'll be honest, naturally. Like, it's all, Christian life is all about grace, isn't it? And that is true, 100% true. God makes us godly by grace, by his own initiative, if you will. All him through the word, and we must trust him by his spirit in the process. So, so important. But if grace means to you, let go and let God. You might have heard people say that. Let go, let God. Well, that's not quite what this passage says, is it? I think as evangelicals, we're great on the emphasis of grace and trust because it is vital, but we don't want to be allergic to terms like effort because the Bible isn't. Sometimes we think it's either trust Jesus or put the effort in. But here, I think putting these two things together, putting in effort is kind of like an expression of your trust in God to grow you. Passivity is evidence that maybe you don't trust that God could grow you. But when you say, God, you work in me, you do all the work through your word, you make me godly through your spirit when I act, and you act, well, you show that you're trusting God for growth in godliness. Can we just go back to our nice little apple seed tree field for the last time? God does the recreation work in us of making us into apple seeds, seeds who can actually grow, all by grace, etc. But we must be watered. We need sunlight. In other words, by grace, the word makes us into Christians who can grow. We trust God the whole time for the results and the process. And by the Spirit, we water the seed. We make every effort to be godly. So here's the challenge. Do you make... Whoops. The slides are gone. Do you make every effort? Do you make every effort? I don't think largely as a church we struggle with laziness. We're diligent, we work hard. But are you channeling your efforts to something else at the expense of godliness? It's quite easy to make the excuse of, oh, I'm a little bit busy right now. I'll get around to being a keen Christian later when I've got a bit more time. After Christmas. No, godliness is doable, it's demanded, it's desirable in every season. Every season, in fact. Make every effort now. Maybe you need to sit down and just kind of rethink, redirect your efforts into the right place if they're not. What efforts look more desirable, more doable, more demanded than godliness does right this second? Make every effort, but also make every effort. There we go, on the slide. There we go, make every effort. Effort, what is it? It's discipline, it's thinking ahead, it's foresight, it's planning. Effort is graft, where there's some slow results. Even so, we still need to make every effort. Let me ask you this. Have you stopped putting in effort because that's what you think the newbie Christians do? Or what you did 30 years ago when I had unhinged zeal? No. Put effort in now, no matter what stage of the Christian life you're at. Why care about godliness? Why care when it feels impossible, unnecessary, makes you into a bit of a killjoy. Motivation. Doable, demanded, desirable. Don't you realise that caring about godliness is more possible than you can ever imagine? You have everything you need. You have a wonderful future secured later on. It's so desirable for that. And it secures a wonderful life with Jesus now. Godliness is so good for you. So as you trust by the Spirit, just get on with it. Do it. Make every effort. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your good word that we have open in front of us right now that we can access at any time. Thank you, Lord, that it has everything that we need for a godly life. Father, just help us to be really convinced by these motivations that Peter gives us, that godliness is really good for us. And I pray that we will be convinced as well that we really should make every effort to be godly and to please you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.